Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions. Listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, the most hated group in America. Is there a connection between the historical hatred, trauma, inequity of blacks, their oppressed social economic condition and current murder rates? Are blacks the most hated group in America? And does some of that hatred come from other black people? I'm sure there is much love in the black community, but the level of violence appears to overshadow the love and even devour it. I am black, but I am not proud of the destruction of life, relationships, families, neighborhoods turned into battlefields. Are we at war because of the people we love, or do we love being at war? Is this war a symptom of self-hate and the hate, separation, and deprivation that has been bestowed upon us? Some of us? Other people hating us has never stopped us before. Us hating us will eat us up like cancer from the inside. So we're going to take a look at contributing factors at the scene of this crime that we have waged upon us, upon our community, some of our community, some of our neighborhoods. But it's actually community is an incorrect term to use. It takes a little more than people living in the same area to be a community, but that's another show. From PBS, most hated group in America, right? An estimated 260,000 suspected hate crimes happen in the U.S. every year. More than 50 out of every 1 million black citizens was the victim of a racially motivated hate crime in 2012, the highest of any group, according to FBI data, right? So this is a little old, so, but it's still good. Among racial groups, African Americans experience the most hate crime. They're the ones most likely to be targeted. They're basically like their chances of being targeted, a hate attack are roughly double any group. And it's more than 10 times that for white people. So the chance of being targeted for a hate attack are roughly double any other group, and it's more than 10 times for that of white folks. Well, that would make sense since the country is predominantly white. So, and black people stick out. They can't even, can't hide. Most of them. So among racial groups, blacks are definitely the most targeted, they said. You also see a fair amount of attacks based on gender towards gay men, and a fair amount of attacks based on religion towards Jewish people primarily, right? The FBI only tracks crimes that are specifically categorized as hate crime by them, right? It also means that they have specific concrete evidence of a racial bias. This is not a you think it's hate. This is definitely a hate crime. So we got the FBI saying that in 2012, right? 10 years ago. Black people are the most hated people in the country, and these states have the most hate groups. They have a report on that, right? So I remember a long time ago, my dad showed me this map of hate groups. Anyway, they're using some data from the Southern Poverty Law Center. Say there are some 784 active hate groups nationwide. That's all hate groups, right? Because I noticed they had the Nation of Islam in here as a hate group. They said 24/7 has recognized and determined that black people face the most hate, more than the number of those hated based on sexual orientation or other racial or religious affiliation. So they're just getting black, just getting it. Well, they're number one at being hated. So in first place, they seem to make first place in a lot of peculiar surveys, you know, and they all seem to be bad. And I'm not saying that black people are bad. I'm not even trying to suggest that, but it seems like there's a lot of bad things being thrown at them. Still, according to 24/7 Wall Street, the white nationalist or white supremacist groups, including the Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazis, racist skinheads, and neo-Confederates, are by far the most common hate groups in the United States. And African Americans are by far the most victimized group of people by hate group activity and other less extreme forms of discrimination. So make sure you just wonder, like, what year is this? Same with you. This is it. This is 2015, written by Stephen A. Crockett Jr. for 247 Wall Street, right? The report also determined that separation contributed to the level of hatred that blacks face. Dislike, intolerance, and hatred seem to diminish when people live together alongside each other. So they're saying that assimilation with, I guess, white people would stop attacking on black people. But I don't know how you tell somebody to move next to the Ku Klux Klan. That's a weird thing to me, because I wouldn't do it. Not moving next to the Ku Klux Klan, the skinheads, and where they're holding their meetings, and the stronghold of, you know, people don't want to live in areas where there's a lot of danger. So anyway, they said this, that's what they're saying. So they're saying, seem to diminish when people live alongside each other. And these attitudes are more likely to flourish when people are separated. So they're saying that segregation fed the violence of the, I don't know if you guys remember, I don't know who's listening, but I'm assuming you know, if you're probably listening to this show, you know, the violence of the up until the 70s that occurred in America with the race riots and all of that stuff. The lynching, and I'm not saying anything that isn't still happening. But as we know, that black people were allowed to move some places that they normally wouldn't be. But I don't know if you notice, it seemed to me when I see black people move somewhere, I see whoever was there moving out, particularly on white folks, you know, that was the white community. Every white community that I know, when black people start moving in, most of the white people moved out. So they're saying is the tolerance is, they're more tolerant if they get to know you, I guess. But my experience is I've seen neighborhoods, white neighborhoods turn into black neighborhoods. That's not a coincidence. It said, unsurprisingly, most of the states in the top 10 are in the South. which has historically been more segregated than the rest of the nation. The legacy of racial hatred in the South contributes to the high concentration of hate groups. Okay. More hate groups are operating in Mississippi relative to its population than in any other state. That's for you travelers. Based on data from the Southern Poverty Law Center, there are, as I said, 784 active hate groups nationwide. Hate group activities vary considerably, right? From verbal attacks and speeches or publications to the promotion of violence. The Southern Poverty Law Center classifies an organization as a hate group if its ideologies attack or malign an entire set of people. White nationalists or white supremacist groups, including the Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazis, skinheads, neo-Confederates, are by far the most common hate groups in the United States. And African-Americans are by far the most victimized, right? They say that segregation contributes to distrust between the races. Dislike, intolerance, and hatred seem to diminish when people live alongside each other. Flourish when they are separated. Not only can segregation damage race relations in a community, but also it has generated poor economic and social outcomes for many African Americans. As we know, if you're doing any kind of research, you know, this country has generated poor economic social outcomes for African Americans, black folks, Negroes, colored folks, I don't know if I covered the whole rainbow or array of names that, you know, we've been through. But it's a little deeper than, to me, living in the same neighborhood with somebody is going to end this hatred and things like that. So some people get burned out of neighborhoods, stoned out, and, you know, just threatened out of neighborhoods that they move into. Anyway, according to Richard Rothstein Research Associate at the Economic Policy Institute, federal housing policies in the 20th century are largely to blame for ongoing racial segregation and its economic effects. That's federal housing. That's according to Richard Rothstein, right? For example, in the last 60 years, black families were intentionally excluded from affordable housing options across the nation, since wealth largely comes from housing investments and home values have increased dramatically over that time in many areas. Those policies have exacerbated income and wealth disparities, right? They're going to say black Americans earn about 60% of what white Americans do. And accumulated wealth among typical black households is a mere 6% of the typical white household. The federal segregation policies and the resulting economic fallout for black Americans have contributed to lower educational attainment rates and segregated schools, among other negative characteristics. These characteristics are in turn used to justify racist attitudes and can lead to white people fleeing suburban neighborhoods when black families move in. This happens even amongst ordinary people, who Rothstein said don't understand that these characteristics are not characteristics of people, but of the social conditions that were created for them. It's a good point. Segregation is a nationwide phenomenon, however. While it can lead to hatred, which in turn may partly account for an individual's participation in a hate group, it does not fully explain high concentrations of hate organizations in a given state. With only two exceptions, the states with the highest concentrations of hate groups are located in the South. Okay, no, I'm thinking just in order to enslave a man, you can't love him. You're not in love with that guy. You enslave him and torture him, rape, murder, dismember, and all that stuff. You know, treat him like he's an animal. That's not a sign you love that person. You keep him in slavery for hundreds of years in your country. So I'm thinking the hate came long before this neighborhood thing. Dig where I'm coming from? So I hear what the author is saying, but he's skipping over a lot of hate. In 8 of the 10 states, the highest concentration of hate groups, a higher share of the state population identified as black than the national proportion of 12%. So these 10 states with the highest concentration of hate groups had a higher proportion of black people than the national 12% of the population, right? So I know blacks supposed to be, they say 12.6. I heard 13, and we're not going to argue with that. Tag over 12, 13, anything like that. But that basically kind of sounds like the more blacks, the higher the concentration of hate groups. And I say that's because of hate runs deep from 1492 to, you know, to 2022. That hate runs deep. You have to, you know, because you're not born hating people. You have to learn that. According to Potok, black and white residents in these states have been living together for a very long time. The legacy of racial hatred in the South contributes to the high concentration of hate groups. That's the theme of these guys. That's their story, and they're sticking to it, right? There is a belief that many Americans in the South, that the Civil War wasn't even fought over slavery, that the South has been defeated militarily and treated terribly ever since. I thought it was the captives were treated terribly ever since the Civil War, with the vagrancy laws and the making them a slave. If you can incarcerate, they can make you a slave. If you break the law, you can be made a slave. And they did actually do that to people. That's very interesting. Anyway, many people who feel that way can be more likely to form a hate-based ideology and actually join hate groups, he said. So, personally, I just find it amazing that people drag people onto their land, to their country, from their homes, enslave them, and they're the ones that hate. That's always been a weird thing to me. Like, you know, how do you hate somebody you forced to be within proximity of you? You force them to be with that. That doesn't make sense. The things that I don't like, rats. I'm not grabbing rats and, you know, bringing them to me. You know what I mean? Things I don't like, I don't have them around me. I don't force them to be around me. It's just weird. Okay, I get the whole thing about money and all that stuff, but forcing these people to be around you. For the record, this nation was built on slavery, North and South. The author here just seemed to be making it like the South was so bad. In fact, the South slave and cotton industry made the Northern bankers rich. I don't know why this author is tap dancing around the racism of the North. A black man could be enslaved anywhere in this country, as the Constitution stated. He was 3/5 of a man. Well, that's not a man, right? Not a whole man. Lincoln freed the slaves in the Confederate states, not the northern states, slaveholding states that were a part of the Union. He didn't, you know what I'm saying? Up until Malcolm X, 1965, he was assassinated. Martin Luther King, 1968, assassinated. And the Civil Rights Act of 1964, legally, blacks were dying due to the hate they legally and illegally received from hateful white people. Though the Civil Rights Act of 1866 was the first federal law granting equal protection under the law, but the 13th Amendment abolished slavery on January 1st, 1865. The 14th Amendment gave black people citizenship and on 7/28/1868, right? And the 15th Amendment proclaimed the right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. So that's like saying black folks, right? All right, so some say assimilation weakened black community, black power, and that black people need equal treatment under the law. They don't need to be assimilated. But as they found out, that would be a difficult task, as redlining proved from CBS. Redlining is illegal, but some say it's still around. Beginning in the 1930s, the practice of redlining by banks and real estate agents denied many people of color access to home loans. Federal laws now ban such mortgage discrimination, but some housing advocates say it has taken on new forms. Well, CBS News, where could they have gotten that idea? From Thought Company. The practice was formally outlawed in 1968 with the passage of the Fair Housing Act. It continues in various forms to this day. You're talking about the hate, you know, that we black folks get, right? With all this and these enormous obstacles, our ancestors, intelligent, strong, and united, were able to create multiple self-sustaining economic cooperation communities like Black Wall Street. Black Wall Street wasn't the only place where black people thrived. They invented many of the things we use today. The list is so long it deserves its own show. If moving in a white neighborhood is representative of your success, you have been misled, bamboozled, hoodwinked. Success for a black man is building and uplifting your people in their own community. There is strength in numbers, particularly when they are united in purpose. So that's what black folks need. You don't need to disappear within a white paint. You need to stand up for you. Stop asking people for what you want and be about getting what you need for yourself. It's already happened before. We had examples. We need to take advantage of that. What happened to the energy? Are we not the people who also are known for an oral tradition of maintaining our history? Do we not know who we are at all? Are we cut off from our most recent history? Today, our greatness and strength appears to be overshadowed by a dark cloud of self-destruction. They had a rap about that when rap first became big. Self-destruction. We're headed for self-destruction. Social media outlets help perpetuate the slippery slope of sensationalizing self-hatred and degradation. If you hate yourself, you do the work and become the instrument of those who hate you. Wake up, brothers and sisters, or we're all through. To identify the states with the most armed hate groups, 24/7 Wall Street Review, the number of active hate groups in each state from the Southern Poverty Law Center. Right? I'm just going to run across a couple of these states. You already know they're going to be a lot of people going to be down. A lot of them going to be down south. Because I already said that, right? So we got Louisiana. Number of hate groups, 15. There are 15 active groups in Louisiana, or 3.2 per 1 million state residents, the 10th highest proportion nationwide. The Aryan Nation Knights and the Loyal White Knights, each are chapters of the Ku Klux Klan. Now, the Ku Klux Klan, you know, that came in after the Reconstruction, right? Right after the slaves were free, right? So Ku Klux Klan still around. And it seems like they're growing because they got chapters. So if you're traveling, you know, but I guess if you live in Louisiana, you already know, right? They went on to say that they are among the 15 groups. Many of the groups are also known for promoting racism towards blacks, with the Aryan neo-Nazi skinhead group making up the bulk of the Louisiana hate groups. New Orleans and Shreveport, right? However, are each also home to chapters of the Nation of Islam, a group with its own, they say, racist, anti-Semitic, anti-gay overtones. Now, that deserves its own show right there. I started to do a show on that, what Farrakhan represents, what he's saying and things like that, you know. But the anti-Semite thing and racist, well, they can't be racist because we know what racism, if you know what racism is, the Nation of Islam doesn't have the capacity to be racist, so we're not even going to get into that, but I just want to say that about the Nation of Islam. Maybe that deserves its own show. Anyway, segregation, which manifests along physical and economic lines, is often both the result and the cause of hatred. So you're trying to tell me that folks hate black folks because they live across the tracks? I'm not getting that. I'm not feeling that. Or you're saying that segregation helps strengthen them because they're strengthened numbers. So, you know, that it happened like that, because I'm trying to figure that out, because segregation is not what initiated this hatred toward black folks. But this author seems to think, these guys from the Southern Poverty Law Center seem to think, mix them up together and they're, you know, I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think what's going to happen is you're going to have a community that's at war like we already have in black communities. You're going to have people fighting within the community. These are hate groups. These people are not just people saying, I don't want to live around black people. These are probably some people who say, given an opportunity, I will kill one of them. Or have killed. The Ku Klux Klan is known for killing black people. So I don't know about that. I'm not so sure about that segregation thing, you know. But we don't go, black people don't go around hating on white folks. I haven't experienced that. We got a whole lot of other things that I worry about than white folks. Until we start going into the community, then we concerned about them, you know. But from my experience, we don't go around. That's not our major topic. Hating white people. Maybe the hate that we get from them, we might talk about back in the day. And, you know, But I don't remember them talking about, like, hating white people. I mean, I've seen white people come around the neighborhood all the time and nobody do anything to them because they're white. And you don't get a pass just because you're white either in terms of the criminals. Criminals going to do what they do. But you're not getting it because you're white. Just getting what everybody else get around there from those guys. Right? Anyway, I thought it was odd that the Nation of Islam is viewed as a hate group. Because I didn't get that impression about them either. Even though I know they said some things about white folks back in the day, but I understand why they're saying it, because they're being tormented by white folks. So yeah, they would call white people, you know, evil, because you are doing, you are hanging, lynching people, and they go in that time period, knocking people in the head, holes in people, sticking dogs on people, for people just want to be exercised their 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment rights. That's an evil thing to do. I get it. And, you know, there were some white people that was died for that cause also. So it's not a white, every white person thing, as we know when we speak. But I can see why the Nation of Islam would want to be separate from people who are killing them for just because of the color of their skin. That makes a lot of sense. I get it. Malcolm went to Mecca, saw all kinds of Muslims, but guess what? The United States, not Mecca. Back to reality. That's what Islam was supposed to be about, right? But we're not going to talk about that any further. PBS and NPR for Southwest Florida stated the Nation of Islam does not perpetuate hate of whites. The Quran speaks against homosexuality, and Minister Farrakhan stated he is not against or anti-Semite, and he or the Nation of Islam does not have the ability or facility to be racist, which is true, right? There is no history of members of the Nation of Islam attacking people because they are white, right? Said there was some kind of response to a lynching in over 5,000 black people once. There was an incident amongst the early members as a response to the lynching over 5,000 black people. The Nation is a self-defense organization, bottom line. That deserves a show by itself, as I said. So back to these hateful organizations. Nation is not, they're not going out knocking people in the head, killing black people or nothing like that. Burning people, taking pictures, lynching them with the family. They're not doing that. Anyway, they don't advocate that. Roughly 20% of Virginia residents are identified as black. That's our second state. Virginia. Ain't Cornwall Jackson from Virginia? Anyway, well above the national proportion, right? They say that these states that have most racist hate groups or have a lot of black people in the state. So it seems like it's an effort for white people to control black people with fear. But I'm going to go ahead on what these people are saying. You know, in my research, right? As in the case of most states on this list, right? Unlike most states with the highest concentration of active hate groups, Virginia residents are relatively well-educated. More than 36% of the state adults have at least a bachelor's degree. So, okay, so I'm not surprised by that. They were well-educated when they had slavery in this country and Reconstruction and, you know, I'm just keep going. The state's median household income is $62,666. That's scary. All right? So that's Virginia. White supremacist groups such as the places, I never heard of some of these places, these groups. Creativity Alliance and American Nazi Party and Aryan Nations are among the most common organized hate groups in Virginia. Anti-immigrant, anti-Muslim, and anti-LGBT groups are also among the state's active hate organizations. Then we have Kentucky. Nazi group, Aryan Nations, several Ku Klux Klan. I thought the Ku Klux Klan was this man. I thought that was a terrorist. That is a terrorist group. Why is it allowed to exist? That's another issue. Just the fact that these guys here, they have historically been a terrorist. That's a home terrorist group. Anyway, the Neo-Confederate Southern National Congress, right? 8% of Kentuckians identify as black, lower than the national proportion of 13%, right? Because they just in around the 12.6 and the 13. In most southern states, with a high number of races or organizations, a legacy of slavery has contributed to a high concentration of black residents, right? Okay, you have a lot of blacks because you had a lot of slaves, right? And they didn't leave. Okay, so I guess once the blacks were freed and started, not wanting to be slaves, you'd be a little angry too. Now you got these free guys thinking that they could just come and to places where you already told them they better not show up, that you've already lynched them for doing, and they continue to do so, right? So I'm just trying to look at it through a white man's eyes who thinks that black people are beneath him, hates them. They're like a roach. They're like an animal, a dog. So, yeah, I'm going to hate you coming in my community, with your tails, trying to get up and down women and just trying to be a man, which I don't think that you are. So that's part of what generates the hate, the perception that true or false that some white people have of black people. These were educated men that said a black man was 3/5 a man, knowing that they had a lot of skilled guys building their property and doing iron work for them, but it's 3/5 of a man. Show me how 3/5 of a man can do so much work. How do you get less of a man, make your country rich, wealthy, through using people that are less than you? Less, that makes no sense. Alabama, right? I'm just going to go through a bunch of these. I don't have a whole lot of time to be reading all this here. These are all the places you probably know. They all down south. South Carolina. 27.6% of the state population is black, right? And white supremacy is a key component of the ideologies of sixteen of the state's 19 active hate groups. You're wasting time hating people. Like, yo, that's a waste of your energy. Doesn't that drive up your cortisol levels, having that type of energy? Including the racist skinhead group out of Columbia, Confederate Hammerskin. Woo! This is crazy. And they want black people they think black people should integrate neighborhoods with these guys. That seems pretty dangerous, especially nowadays, because ain't nobody taking that crap. It's kind of like it's just, Tennessee. 17th most populous state, but has 29 active hate groups, which is the 7th most in the country. This was a surprise to me, but it shouldn't be a surprise. New Jersey, right? The Garden State. And they call that the Garden State. Unlike most of the states in the highest concentrations of hate groups, New Jersey has relatively wealthy, high educated population. Uh-oh. That's the opposite of what they said, right? 447 hate crimes were reported in New Jersey in 2013, the third most in the country. New Jersey. The median household income in New Jersey is $70,165. And 36.6% of the adults have at least a bachelor's degree. Right? New Jersey has 40 separate active hate groups, the fourth most in the country. The majority of the state's hate groups, 22 in all, are skinhead organizations, including 14 chapters of AC Skins and 3 chapters of the American Front. I never even heard of some of these places, these groups. Idaho, Arkansas, and then we have Mississippi. Lots of hate groups with a population of 3 million and 22 active hate groups. Mississippi has the highest concentration of hate groups in the country. I'm still wondering why the Ku Klux Klan is allowed to exist. I thought America was down on terrorist groups. Well, we got a home-bred, proven terrorist group in the Ku Klux Klan. And they're identifying them all over. Right here down south. Black separatist groups are groups that form and evolve from racism, segregation, and the tyranny of aggression and murder in the good old USA. After hundreds of years of white people planning their enslavement, oppression, and murder, these people have come to the conclusion that whatever they want for themselves as black people, they're going to have to work together as black people to get it. There is an abundance of hate expressed by an abundance of hate groups in America, as I just, you know, that's not even all of them. It is safe to say that black people have been systematically and disproportionately subjected to hate extensively in this country through slavery, laws and legislation, black codes, hate groups, and hateful individuals, right? So that's a lot of hate right there. And, you know, from history, the Black Codes were restrictive laws designed to limit the freedom of African Americans and ensure their availability as cheap labor, as a cheap labor force after slavery was abolished during the Civil War, right? Black Codes, we're going to keep these guys in a... We're going to change the look of enslaving them, basically. The Black Codes are legal but immoral, unethical methods of keeping a slave, maintaining inequity, right? Inequality in the economic interest of white supremacy. Black oppression creates and maintains income inequality and disrespect of black people. That was 1865. The Black Codes may have been abolished, but you can't de-legislate emotion and ideology. Blacks continue to be disrespected, disenfranchised, and the recipients of income inequality till this day. Oh, no, I'm just talking, right? Maybe I'm just talking out of my head. Changing America, U.S. wealth gap between races widening over the last 160 years. As of 2019, black Americans held one-sixth of the income held by white Americans and earned 50 cents less than every dollar on every dollar earned by white Americans. On average, income inequality has been linked with poor health outcomes later in life, further driving disparity. Proposed solutions to addressing the racial wealth gap include improved housing policies, and slavery reparations. Nobody wants to give black people anything, right? The balance. Racial wealth gap in the United States. The racial wealth gap is worsening. Between 1983 and 2013, white households saw their wealth increase by 40%. But during that same period, black household wealth declined 75%. How is that possible? Median Hispanic household wealth declined 50%. One reason for the discrepancy is the number of extremely poor black families. Economic Policy Institute reported that 25% of black households have zero or negative net worth. Only 10% of white families are that poor. Since so many black families own nothing or are in debt, it drags down the average wealth for the entire group. Put it another way, black families have $5.04 in net worth for every dollar held by white families. Historic roots of racial wealth gap. Until the 13th Amendment in 1865, slavery legally prevented blacks from building wealth. Until the Civil Rights Act of 1964, Jim Crow laws continued segregation in the South. Civil Rights Act of 1964, right? They detail what jobs blacks could take and how much they could be paid. I know people are wondering, what that got to do with all the shooting and the killing? We'll get to that because it's all connected. They restricted where blacks lived and traveled. Public parks, transportation, and restaurants were segregated. Even some towns were off limits to blacks. I hear we got some, what they call them towns? Sundown towns. I heard we still got sundown towns. Now, I don't want to find out, but, you know, I just heard somebody told me we still got sundown towns. Social Security contribution to the racial welfare gap. The Social Security contribution to the racial wealth gap. In 1935, the Social Security Act excluded farm workers and domestic workers from accruing benefits. Most blacks still lived in the South and were there more likely to be farm workers than domestic workers. Two-thirds of blacks never received Social Security's wealth-building opportunities. The Civil Rights Movement and the racial wealth gap. Mobilization for World War II and the Civil Rights Movement sought to reverse this legal discrimination. It had mixed results. In 1948, Harriet Truman ordered integration in the military. The GI Bill of Rights assisted veterans with housing, education, and jobs. Between 1944 and 1971, it spent $95 billion in benefits, but it was left to the states to administer. Okay, federal government, here go $95 billion, GIs, right? As a result, black veterans in the South were often denied access. See, you can legislate changes, but you can't legislate within a man's heart. In 1954, Brown versus the Board of Education Supreme Court ruling determined that school segregation was unconstitutional, but schools followed local neighborhood boundaries and neighborhoods were segregated. So that's a segregated school, right? You just make sure the boundaries all white or black, right? So you go to a black school, you go to a white school, right? In 1964, the Civil Rights Act and Jim Crow laws. In 1965, the Voting Rights Act protected blacks' right to vote. In 1968, the Fair Housing Act ended legal discrimination in renting and selling homes, right? Legal discrimination in renting and selling homes. Then you have protected blacks' right to vote when you already had the right to vote as a citizen, right? Through the 13th, 14th Amendments, right? Anyway, the legacy of Jim Crow. Jim Crow laws created a structural inequality, right, that has been difficult to erase. That's right. Despite these laws, discrimination against blacks owning wealth has continued. That's right. And that's what I just said, right? Welfare programs such as the Transitional Assistance for Needy Families, right? TANF, right? And the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program forbid beneficiaries from accumulating wealth, right? If you're getting welfare, you can save more than $1,000. Own cars. Well, I think you can own a car. I think you can own one car now. Where if you can't own a car worth more than $4,650, how do you even come up with a number $4,650.111112? How do you come up with that number? It's weird. Anyway, so They want you to drive around and be in a hoopty that you got to keep putting money in, right, to fix. They don't want you to get a good car, right? Wealth building initiatives worsen the gap, right? Federal government policies actively promote wealth building. Each year, the federal government offers around $347.8 billion in tax cuts designed to build wealth. $347.8 billion in tax cuts, right? According to the Corporation for Enterprise Development, at least 39.2% of the cuts promote home ownership, while 41% subsidizes savings and investment. In 2015, a 2015 study reported that reducing the racial home ownership gap would narrow the racial wealth gap by 31%. The cut helped the wealthy more than the poor. The wealthiest 5% of Americans are in the best financial position to take advantage of these tax cuts. As a result, 50% of the $347.8 billion goes to them, the wealthiest 5%. Y'all heard that? The bottom 60%, those making $50,000 or less, only see 4% of those tax cuts. The bottom 20% taxpayers who earn $19,000 or less get 0.0%. I'm going to tell you, that's not an accident. That's by design. That's numeric. That's a numeric equation there, and it's not by the accident, right? Anyway, perversely, the wealth gap has also created an achievement gap between the groups. That gap, in turn, has cost the U.S. economy billions, right? So racism is causing, and hatred is causing the U.S. economy lots of money. Education increases the income that generates greater economic growth. Americans with college degrees earn 84% more than those with only high school degrees, right? They found that the average score of a black and Hispanic student on standard tests was 2 to 3 years behind that of a white student of the same age. This racial wealth gap exists even among blacks who are highly educated and come from two-parent homes. Black families with graduate or professional degrees have $200,000 less in wealth than similarly educated whites, right? These black or Latino college graduates don't even have as much wealth as white high school dropouts. Similarity, two-parent black households have less wealth than single-parent white households. In fact, the McKinley study cited above found that the achievement gap has cost the U.S. economy more than all recessions up to the date of publication of this article, right? If there had been no achievement gap in the years between 1998 and 2008, U.S. gross domestic product, the GDP, right? That's how you calculate if you haven't this a recession on, if you know that product is moving, right? Would have been $525 billion higher in 2008. If low-income students had the same educational achievements as their wealthier peers over the same period, they would have added $670 billion in GDP. See that? One way to close the gap is to increase the economic mobility. United States has lower levels of economic mobility than other developed countries, right? A tax cut would allow them to afford a decent standard of living. It will also allow them to start saving and increase their wealth. For people struggling to live, you're not going to be able to save money. If you can't save, you don't have money to invest. So they keep you living on edge. Another thing, don't live above your means either. Improving educational access, research shows that the greatest single correlation of a high income and its education level of one's parents, right? Investing in human capital is a better solution than increasing welfare benefits for providing a universal basic income. So they're saying give people what they need to earn more money is better than giving them money. They talked about the Tax Policy Center showed that Trump's 2017 tax cut and Jobs Act would give families earning $25,000 or less an annual of $40 tax cut. The act would give those earning $3.4 million annually a $937,700 tax break. So what do you think, Tank? What's it, Carrot Top? What's it, Trump is looking out for? This is systemic oppression. The Tax Cut and Jobs Act would give families earning $25,000 or less annually a $40 tax cut. The act would give those earning $3.4 million annually a $937,700 tax break. That's crazy. Black people need to invest and benefit from their own work, their energy, create black communities, industry, educational facilities, and practice collective economics. Each one reach one, each one teach one. How to build a ladder out of the impoverished physical and mental state, systemically and purposefully helping one another. If they did it in 1920 at Tulsa or Black Wall Street, it can be done in 2022. Todd Anderson stated blacks had one half of 1% of the nation's wealth at the end of the Civil War and still have one half of 1% of the wealth today. That leaves a lot of room for growth. I know that's a bad, that sounds bad, but hey, we look at it positively, look at it another way, that's a lot of room to grow. Got a lot of ground to carry, to cover right there. Anyway, from the Washington Post, the typical black family has just one-tenth of the wealth of a typical white one. In 1865, black Americans owned one-half or 1% of the national wealth. Bam! They said today it's just over 1.5%, or roughly the same percentage of the overall population. People in power created new bundles of discrimination, largely hidden from sight, they said, that thwarted again and again the economic promise of emancipation, right? Seems like we can include anger in the equation of for why black on black homicide rate is so high. The anger appears to be related to economics or the lack of economic power or the effects of inequality, right? NAACP talked about the lynching. Now, I'm not being going to get into that for too long, but it's very important. Lynching is the public killing of an individual who has not received any due process. These executions are often carried out by lawless mobs, though police officers did participate under the pretext of justice. Lynchings are violent acts that white people used to terrorize and control black people in the 19th and 20th century. Lynchings typically evoke images of black men and women hanging from trees. Other extreme brutality such as torture, mutilation, decapitation, and desecration. Some victims were burnt alive. You think somebody's going to move in that community? That's somebody's theory. Move into that community. A typical lynching about criminal accusation, and arrest and the assembly of a mob, followed by seizure, physical torment, and murder of the victim. Lynchings were often public spectacles attended by the white community in celebration of white supremacy. Photos of lynchings were often sold as souvenir postcards. Do you really think Black people should move in the community with these folks. And that's why they learned not to move with them. So that's why some blacks are not trying to move in these communities. Even though they live in these poor communities, that's why some didn't want to move in there. I can see why. That's what they're forced to do things in their own community, which was a double-edged sword, depending on how you look at it. Because look at Tulsa. Look at all these Wall Streets they had. South Carolina, North Carolina had a Wall Street. A bunch of Wall Streets, black Wall Street, where black people was coming up. Economically working together and in cooperation with a purpose, not trying to get into this foolishness. How many people were lynched? Well, there's a lot of people lynched from 1882 to 1968. 4,743 lynchings occurred in the U.S. according to records maintained by the NAACP. They said the true number is underreported. You damn right. Mississippi reported 581. Georgia had 531. Texas had 493. Black people were the primary victims of lynching. 3,446, or about 72% of the people lynched, were black. Some white people were lynched for helping black people or for being anti-lynching. Immigrants from Mexico, China, Australia, and other countries were also lynched. Really? Moving to the, assimilating to these communities with these animals? Are you kidding? White mobs often use dubious criminal accusations to justify the lynchings, right? Claim a black man was perceived as a sexual transgressions against white women. Charges of rape were routinely fabricated. Oh, he raped a white woman. He touched a white woman. Emmett Till, a white woman accused him of wolf whistling or something. I don't even know. They accused him of some trash. They ain't even true. And they went and got the boy out of people's house. I don't know how he's able to do that, but I guess they figured better one dead than the whole family. That's what I'm looking at. Got him out and beat him, tortured him, dismembered him, shot him in the head, threw him in the Tallahatchie River, I think, with a fan around his neck. I think he was, 14? Grown-ass men. Didn't laugh about it. Admitted they did it. Didn't do a day in jail. The woman who falsely accused him still alive today. And found out there was a warrant for her arrest for doing that. But like I said, I see where things are happening for black people and through the federal government, but thwarted by people who have hate for black people in this country, which is why more reason why black people need to work together. Which brings me to lynching of black people caused black people to unite against the racial violence that left many black and innocent people hanging from a tree or burnt alive after being dismembered alive. Why didn't that galvanize black people to preserve black life, black generations? How did blacks become a greater imminent threat to the lives of other black people than the racist white community? George Floyd was very reminiscent of the public lynching that took place not so long ago. You would think that being the target of white aggression, torture, murder, and rape, and oppression for 500 years would unite black people, and it did unite some people. You would think that it would have reinforced the idea, the moral, ethical notion that black people need to protect one another, value one another, that black lives matter. Maybe all the systemic and social economic aggression and oppression toward black people, that black lives didn't matter. When someone can murder you in public, take pictures, videos of their crime, and they are unafraid of the consequences, the repercussions, and it sends the message that black lives don't matter to those folks, not to mention the long history of overt legislation that institutionalized the devaluing of black life. You would think, hope, that the wholesale devaluing of black people we have created a fire inside of generations of white or black folk forever saying it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. Black power, black unity, black love, black community, black economics. That's too much like right, though. History has shown us that we are at best strongest and magnificent when we are united with a purpose. In this case, the objective would be the survival, improvement, empowerment, preservation, and perpetuation of our well-being. Yet, somehow, some of us have succumbed to being instruments, perpetuating our own untimely demise while we remain under attack. It is simply, we have learned to hate each other or devalue the life of a black person. It is simply because we live in close proximity to one another. How did some black people embrace the wholesale murdering of black people and many have not? How did murdering black people become a badge of honor or aspiration for some black people? Sadly enough, some publicize their murderous escapades or desire to do so, whether it be the punishment of the creator or the result of a set of circumstances or both. Here we are in a living hell. Who killing 10,000 black Americans a year? FBI's statistics on violent crime in America showing that 30% of surge of in homicides in 2020 over 2019, right? Of the people killed, at least 919 were black. 9,913 were black. 7,029 were white, 497 were from other races, 315 were race unknown. There were at least 14,146 men killed and 3,573 women. Black Americans are being shot, stabbed, and beaten to the death at a rate 6 to 7 times that of white. By the end of the year, well over 10,000 blacks will have been made victims of homicide in America. That breaks down to roughly 200 black folks dead every single week in this country from gunshot wounds or other criminal violence, a weekly death toll that rivals losses in Vietnam at the height of the war, a weekly death toll that rivals losses, death, right, in Vietnam at the height of the war, the height of the war. Black lives, it is a slogan that proclaims Black Lives Matter. Why is there not greater public alarm at BLM and who is killing so many black people? Black Lives Matter is not official representative of black people. Greater public alarm at the Black Lives Matter assumes that Black Lives Matter is the voice of the black community. It is also indicative of someone who doesn't know diddly squat about politics, the black community, or human beings. What we know is that gun violence absolutely presents tragedy every single day, says Brittany Packett, a prominent voice in the Black Lives Movement. She said, but if black life really matters to people who insist that black-on-black crime is a real issue, then pay attention to poverty, right? That's inequality, right? The difference, more than 1 in 4 black Americans live in areas of extreme poverty, according to a 2015 Century Foundation study. Only 1 in 13 whites live in these areas. The supporters, that supports the theory that inequality and respect impact on the homicide rate of those affected. If more blacks are impoverished due to inequality, there is a potential for greater number of homicides, right? Black Americans are 3 times most likely to be killed by police than whites. We got all of this violence going on. Then we have this situation where I saw this article. The lady was saying basically that inequality caused a lot of violence. Black on black homicide, a psychological perspective. Black on black homicide rates are 7 to 8 times those of white, though blacks have a rate of probably only 4 to 5 times that of white, right? About 80-90% of the cases, black victims were killed by another black person. Just as we accept that suicide victims are psychologically impaired, we must acknowledge that the murderers similarly are both environmental and political reasons are likely to reflect emotional predispositions that allow them to more readily become a homicide statistic, right? Project Self-Hatred facilitates blind rage and gives the perpetrator of a violent attack a sense of legitimacy and justification. We must pay attention as well to the negative psychological dynamics in the black experience that contribute to internal victimization between black, right? A dire need for homicide prevention centers in the community, right? From The Guardian, the surprising factors driving murder rates are income inequality and respect. Inequality predicts homicide rates better than any other variable, they say. Inequality. If your social reputation is all you got, you got to defend it, right? 17-year-old boy shoots a 15-year-old stranger to death, apparently believing that the victim had given him a dirty look. A Chicago man stabbed his stepfather in a fight over whether his entry into his parents' house without knocking was disrespectful. The San Francisco UPS employee guns down 3 of his co-workers, then turns his weapon on himself, right? They say each involved apparently small disagreements and a sense of being seen as inferior and unworthy of respect. Well, I'm going to say that blacks have been treated inferiorly and unworthy of respect since slavery, right? Research suggests that inequality raises the stakes of fights for status among men. When inequality is high and strips the large numbers of men of usual markers of status like a good job and the ability to support a family, matters of respect and disrespect loom disproportionately. You understand that? I don't have nothing and you're going to kick me while I'm down with some BS, right? So you're going to respect me even though I don't have nothing. You will respect me, right? Inequality predicts homicide rates better than any other variable. Says Martin Daly, professor emeritus of psychology and neuroscience at McMaster University in Ontario, and author of Killing the Competition, Economic Inequality and Homicide. This includes factors like rates of gun ownership, which also rise when inequality does. The cultural traits like placing more emphasis on honor. This too turns out to be linked to inequality. About 60 academic papers show that a very common result of greater inequality is more violence, usually measured by homicide rates. According to the FBI, just over half the murders in which the precipitating circumstances were known were set off by what is called the other argument, not robbery, not a love triangle, drugs, domestic violence, or money, but simply the sense that someone had been dissed. No self-esteem. When someone bumps into someone on a dance floor, looks too long at someone else's girlfriend, or makes an insulting remark, it doesn't threaten the self-respect of people who have other types of status the way it can when you feel this is your only source of value. If you foreclose mainstream opportunities for respect, status, and personal advancement, people will find other ways to pursue those things. The most commonly used measure of inequality that looks at how wealth is distributed, right? Obviously, potential murders don't check the Gini index, which is the most commonly used measure of inequality that looks at how wealth is distributed. They are keenly attuned to their own level of status in society and whether it allows them to get what they need to live a decent life. If they can't, while others visibly bask in the luxury that seems both impossible to attain and unfairly won, those far from the top often become desperate. Issues of respect don't only affect males, of course, but overwhelmingly, murders tend to be committed by men. The current proportion in the U.S. is 90%. What's less known is that most of the victims are male too. That's because since inequality is a common worldwide killing related to status, predominant, and men kill those whom they see as rival. Dude, man, murders are also disproportionately a crime of the young for both evolutionary and cultural reasons. Social status is most highly contested during adolescence and early adulthood because high rank is frequently associated with sexual attractiveness. Listen to this. But disputes over male status are so much lower in such countries that all types of homicides are much less in the egalitarian people who believe people should be treated as equal, Scandinavian countries, than the U.S., right? They have a lower homicide rate, which is only 50%, right? When we had 77%, that's still bad. Anyway, although inequality can also affect rates of crimes like robbery or burglary, its effect is most clearly seen in the way it murderously magnifies beasts. So here we are, and I'm running out of town. That holds true for conflicts in Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, Baltimore, Texas, Louisiana, well, everywhere. I guess beating a man in a fist fight is like kicking a man when he is down, no matter how arrogant and tough he portrays himself. It is truly a gruesome exhibition of self-hate, self-violation, and self-degradation. So, low to no self-esteem, failure to thrive, socially and economically feeling or being devalued by or in society facilitates violence as a form of standing up or making people respect you. As cruel as that may seem, I get it. I've seen it. Deprivation facilitates and breeds desperation due to the lack of ability to express dominance, maleness, male protective roles through social economic norms of success. Respect or disrespect can become a life or death struggle. Disrespect from an individual can lead to disrespect from the group or the community. No one wants to be low man on an already low man totem pole or in the sub-basement of the basement of society. In fact, disrespecting, chumping, or taking someone's heart is a form of achieving power when that someone does not address the disrespect. Unfortunately, to address the disrespect can be viewed as disrespect rather the reaction is verbal or physical. Verbal disrespect is a precursor to physical violence. To lose the physical confrontation is to be shamed and disrespected. Murder is the ultimate form of redemption. That's what we're dealing with. Hence, some people skip the lip service and the fist fight and go straight to the gunfight. The gun provides the weakest individual with the power to take the life of anyone. Some people will respect you for the level of violence you are willing to perpetrate. Some will fear you, and others will seek to murder you if you confront them or murder you for revenge. What a hamster wheel of self-destruction. Respect is worth murdering for if an individual doesn't perceive he has anything else worth maintaining. if the only way to deal with high, it was an article that said I skipped that. It said it was talking about inequality. They said the only way to deal with high inequality is through catastrophe, disease, famine, war, social collapse, and communist revolution. We are in for a hell of a scary ride. You understand? Because, look, it seems like we're on that road right now. Catastrophe, disease, famine, world war. So, it says, and basically, this author had said that was the only way to deal with it. That's scary. I don't know how you guys feel about that. But anyway, I tied in the hatred with the inequality. And you know that we all know the black people have a history of being treated unequal in this country. And even to now, to today, you know, I'm not the only person saying that things, they're not being fair toward black people, you know. And I'm not talking, I'm not saying other people don't have problems. I'm not talking about other people. I'm talking about black folks, you know. So you got to reach out, and whoever's grabbing your hand, pull them up. Can't save everybody. As you know, we talk amongst me and my friends, my peers, we talk, we can't save everybody, you know, but those that want to change, those that want to repent and try something more positive with a purpose, you got to help them. And definitely all the children. You got to save the children from this garbage that's being spread, this disease, this cancer that's being spread in our community from lack of self-esteem and esteem for the life of others. It must end, and we are the ones to end it. Police can't end it. Federal government can't end it. We have to end it. As individuals, I'm talking to the people who shoot and the people who don't shoot. We got to stop. Somewhere you got to stay. You got to take an L and end it. Until next week, y'all, I want to thank everybody for listening in, people who called in, listened in, people who download the show. I want to thank We Talk Productions, Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Kenneth Jones, and the creator. Until next week, y'all, each one reach one, each one teach one, stop the violence. Don't let the violence stop you. That's a quote from the poet Noor. Till next week, y'all. Peace out.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion.
Naked, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hart, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.